Thank you, ladies. Take your Bible this morning and turn to John chapter 15 in God's Word. And I love the message of that song. I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I'm thankful that a sovereign God that loves me is in charge. And I've discovered this, that you can plan for the day, but you cannot plan the day. And one phone call can change everything, can't it? But I can be prepared for come what may, knowing that my faith is in the one who holds the day. And so, in God's Word this morning, John chapter 15, many of you have noticed in your bulletin that the theme for the month of May is real friendships. I'm going to tell you that the Bible is filled with illustrations of times where people had what they thought were friends, but were not really friends at all. How many of you have ever had someone that you thought was a friend, only to later on discover that they really weren't? Let me see your hand. My hand is up. Somebody that ingratiated you to them and endeared themselves to you, only to later on stab you right in the back. Yeah, we've been there and done that, got the T-shirt a few times and thought, you know, man, I'm never going to let that happen to me again. And we put all the defenses and walls up. And sometimes what we do is we accept the world's facsimile of the real thing. And we try to find comfort in the superficial and not in that which is real. Now, I determined a long time ago, and as we began this year, the Lord was working on my heart in a very serious way about being real in every way. Not trying to put on airs or at times be things that I'm not, but to try in every way to be sincere, to serve the Lord in truth. That means with sincerity of heart, to be real. And today I want to talk to you about the subject of real friendship. Real friendship. You'll find that at the end of your days, those that you count as genuine friends are not that many. Not that many. And some of those that you're holding fast to and claiming as friends, you may discover they're not really that true blue friend that you thought that they were. We're going to talk about this morning. I'm going to bring you a message entitled, The Qualities of Real Friendship. The Qualities of Real Friendship. And I would tell you that the only way we can identify the qualities of real friendship is to see what the Bible has to say as demonstrated by the real friend of us all, and that is Jesus Christ. He came to make you His friend, and He invites you into friendship with Him. Verse 1, the Bible says in chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, today as we come to your word, we ask that thy Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding. And may we see Jesus clearly lifted high. For Lord, you said, Jesus be lifted up. You would draw all men unto yourself. And we pray that today that would be the case. Save those that are lost and strengthen relationships today, we pray, by thy might. For we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen. The qualities of real friendship. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, I think that there are some things that we need to begin by noticing, and that is that the Lord Jesus did not say, I will be your friend if you do the things that I command you. He said, you are my friends. He didn't say, I will be your friend. He said, you will demonstrate your friendship toward me by your obedience. But he demonstrated his friendship towards you by giving his life for you. So the Lord is not saying, I'll be your friend if... Now, all of us can remember when we were in school as little children and maybe your friend or someone you wanted to be your friend, they had some candy or something and you said, I'll be your friend if you give me some. Right? How many of you remember those days? You know, am I your BFF? Check yes or no. And things like that. And we'd send the note off and try to garner friends and influence people and things like this. But friends cannot be bought. And the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be earned. It is given. And yet somehow I think we fail to understand that the one who is our best friend, the one who is the personification of love, gives us a hint about how he loves us and the kind of friend he is toward us and the kind of friend that we're to be towards others. Now, I want to submit this to you, and that is that if we somehow feel like that someone must engage themselves in conduct that is deserving of your love, that is not friendship at all. That if they engage themselves in conduct that you approve of, that you will care the more for them, that is not friendship at all. The Lord didn't say, if you do all these things, then I'll be your friend. You know, if you give me your tithe, I'll be your friend. No, the Lord is not that petty. He's the all-wise, eternal, immortal God that never changes. And He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And He demonstrated that by, in fact, laying down His life for us. He said, you'll demonstrate your love to me by laying down the life that you have chosen to live for yourself and following after my commandments. And sometimes we talk about how much we love the Lord. My friend, talk is cheap. I believe that the Lord would rather have it be seen. Now, I would tell you that if you think that you're a dear friend, and yet when someone transgresses your expectation, you hold them at bay and you reserve your love for them, you're no friend at all. You have embraced legalism because that is the epitomization of legalism, because what we're doing is we're saying, if you measure up to this expectation that I have established for you, then I will accept you. That is what we call performance-based acceptance. That is practical legalism. But the Lord didn't say, you know, listen, if you keep the commandments, if you don't smoke, dance, drink, cuss, or chew, carouse with them that do, if you wear your seatbelt and pay your taxes, if you think globally and act locally, and if you donate to the Red Cross and you recycle and all of these things, then, you know, maybe I'll accept you. That's the way mankind is. But my friend, we have no idea what it means to really love the way Jesus loves us. He offers us His grace, which is undeserved, God's unmerited love and favor that He has chosen to shower upon those that He invites into friendship. Do you know that when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says that we are no longer under the law, but we are under God's grace. The law can only condemn you. The law can only reject you. But grace will receive you. It gives you that which you could never earn, that which you could never deserve for yourself. And that becomes the government of the life of a Christian. You say, what do you mean? I mean this, that the principle that governs the life of a believer should not be that I will like Joshua if Joshua does everything that I expect him to do. No. It says, I'm going to love Joshua, period. If he decides he doesn't like me, I'm going to love him anyhow. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse number 10, that love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. You remember Jesus summarized the law into two commandments. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love the Lord as you ought to love Him, then you will love your neighbor as you ought to love him. And the rest of the commandments will begin to fall into line. They will take care of themselves if we are loving someone else as God has called us to love them. Now, this is not the qualities I want to give you, but I just want to say this. Until you love, really love, you'll never be the friend that God has called you to be. I know some people, they pride themselves in friendship. They say, you know, I can keep confidence. I'm a true friend. I'm true blue. I'm glad. I'm happy about all that. But you know what I've discovered? There are people that pride themselves in friendships that are toxic and unhealthy. And there's nothing there to be proud about. They're young people that, you know, they pride themselves on being a friend because they keep the secret that their girlfriend is, you know, having intimacy with her boyfriend outside of the boundaries of marriage, and she hasn't told her parents, hadn't told anybody about it. Or they take pride in knowing that their friend is getting drunk or getting high and they're not telling anybody about it. I wonder really if that's friendship. That if we're going to sit idly by and watch someone kill themselves and destroy their future and call ourselves a friend. Think about it. Think about it. Let me take it one step further. How many of you have friends that are not saved? They're not Christians. They're not certain that they're on their way to heaven. Let me see your hand. Raise it up big and high. Okay, my hand's up. Every hand in here. Every hand in here. Now, according to the Bible, not according to Pastor Mark, but according to the Bible, if someone dies outside of Christ, where do they go? To hell. All right? That's where they go. How long do they have to stay there? Y'all are a bunch of judgmental Baptists. No, I didn't say that. That's not what the Baptist Church said. That's what God said. God. So let me ask you a question. If the greatest need a person has is the need of forgiveness so that they may be saved. And you know this. And that is a need that your friend possesses. And you do nothing to lead them to the only one who can save them from the consequences of their sin. What kind of friend are you? You're no friend. You're no friend. I shared with my Sunday school class today in Galatians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul wrote to them and he said, I buried a record today that if it had been possible, you would have even plucked out your own eyes if it would have been possible and have given them to me. See, they loved the Apostle Paul so much that they recognized he had an infirmity in his eyes. They loved him so much that if it were possible for them to have given him their eyes so that his eyesight could be restored, they would have given him their eyes. And then he went on to say, am I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Oh, they loved him when he told them about God's grace and all these things. But when he wrote back to them and he rebuked them because they were embracing legalism, performance-based acceptance, he said, am I now you hate me when there was a time when you would have given me your very eyes if it were possible? Now you hate me because I'm telling you the truth? Paul was a type of friend that wrote to the Corinthian believers and said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He recognized that there would be those that would spurn and refuse the offer of friendship and love and that would not appreciate the offer of truth. And today I want to give you several things today that will reveal the qualities of real friendship as we find in Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, that the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. The Lord is talking about Himself, and He is using this term, I am the true vine. Now, the vine was typical of Israel, and that came out of Egypt, and yet this is referring to the Lord, and He said, I am the progenitor of Israel. I'm the true vine. I'm the real deal. But He was not talking about a physical people. He was talking spiritually. He was using this in the spiritual sense. And can I just say this to you? That a real friendship is, number one, spiritual. Spiritual. Now, sometimes I talk to people and I say, let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you 100% certain that you would spend eternity in heaven? Are you 100% certain you spend eternity in heaven? You know, sometimes people will say, I'm a deeply spiritual person. What do you mean by that? Well, you know, I just really am into God and all that. Well, I'm glad. Sometimes what that is that's the terminology of the New Age movement. What that means is that I'm into sensing spirits and nuance and, you know, maybe they think they're a clairvoyant. They're spiritual. What people call spiritual and what the Bible indicates is spiritual are often two different animals altogether. And so let us understand that spiritual means alive in Jesus. It is alive through Jesus. The Bible says that our spirit was dead when we were born. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 20, for as in Adam, all die. Now, did we all die physically? Well, in a sense, we would age and eventually succumb to physical death. But for certain, spiritually, the original sin of Adam caused all of his offspring to be born with sin in their life and spiritually they were dead. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. You hath He quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You recall that Jesus said in John chapter 3 that ye must be born again. And the Lord made the distinction. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. What the Lord is talking about there is that your spirit needs to be regenerated or made alive. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, that regenerating work, that word regeneration means to bring to life again. So the Lord quickened our spirit by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And when He comes to take up residency in us at the moment of conversion, that is an eternal spirit that will never pass away. We are sealed. That means we're secured by that spirit of promise. Now, here's the enduring kind of friendship. The Bible tells me that I have all things in common with a brother, another Christian. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. And so I can have a spiritual relationship with Brother Thumper. We can be friends on a spirit level, whereas I might have another friend who doesn't know the Lord as Savior. And guess what? We can't have a spirit level relationship because His Spirit is dead. His Spirit is dead. And so today, the real and enduring kind is the kind that is interested in you spiritually. You know what the Lord gave this to His disciples for? It was to cast light upon spiritual things. Spiritual things. The Lord fed the 5,000 that were hungry. The Lord healed the sick. He raised the dead. He took care of a lot of physical things. But do you know what He said? He said, hitherto came not I forth to perform miracles, but to preach the gospel of the kingdom in Mark chapter 1. What was He saying? My focus is not purely upon the physical needs of mankind. He did all of those things. It provided Him with a hearing, and it validated the claims of who He was, but His interest was in their spirit. And if I say, Joshua, I love you, but I care not for his eternal soul, I am not His real friend, because that is the greatest need that he possesses, is to have his spirit made alive. You might pride yourself in being a great friend, but if your friends are on their way to hell and you know how to keep them from going there, what kind of friend are you if you don't share it? Look, if my wife came down with renal failure and she had to have a kidney transplant in order to live, you know, I wouldn't even think that long with saying, you can have one of mine. I mean, that long. You can have one of mine. It's my kidney is yours before you ask. I mean, you can have it. That's what you need. It's yours. But you know what? A person that has renal failure needs more than they need a kidney. They need Jesus. And a real friend is going to be interested in the spirit of a person more than anything else. That doesn't mean that's to the exclusion of every other need in their life. And we're going to look at that for just a moment. And I'm going to move quickly, but I wanted to labor this point because I believe it is so very, very important. I want us to notice, secondly, that a true friend will speak. He'll speak. The Bible says in verse number 3, now ye are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. Spoken unto you. Now, sometimes people get together and what binds them together as friends is what they do. They like riding motorcycles, and so they get together and they ride motorcycles, and we're motorcycle riding buddies. Their dad took Brother Joe over to pick up his motorcycle, and I saw people hanging out, and they were talking about motorcycles, and there was something that they did that bound them together. Sometimes we see people, and they're gathered together, and what seems to bind them together is maybe the fact that they like having a few beers with their buddies. And so it's we're going to do something, and that what we do is going to establish a foundation for our friendship. But you know, here's the problem. If you stop doing those things, it somehow impedes the fellowship. What if your buddy is someone you ride motorcycles with, all of a sudden, you know, their wife freaks out because they know somebody that was killed in a motorcycle wreck, and they say, "You got to sell your motorcycle." What then? You say, "Well, you know, I'm their friend. I'm their buddy." Good, I'm glad. But, you know, that friendship has to transcend what you do. It has to be based upon some shared values that are communicated through speech. The Lord said, "Here are some things that are important. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Real friendship is going to involve communication. Communication. And it qualifies this communication. It's going to be the kind of communication that is a cleansing and helpful type of communication. The Lord said, "Ye are clean." I know some people that I count as casual friends. And you know, a lot of times when they start talking, they start spewing all kinds of venom. They start taking the Lord's name in vain. They want to tell dirty jokes. They want to talk about sexual exploits and all of these things. And folks, can I tell you, what the Lord gives you and what the Lord communicates to you will be a cleanser for your soul. It'll be a cleanser for your mind. It will make you better. It will not draw you down into the quagmire of sin and worldly thought. And so, I wonder today if we just took these first two qualities as a test of real friendship, are we preeminently interested in the spiritual needs of the people we call friend? And are we communicating things that will help to draw them out of the quagmire of ungodliness and worldly living? Or are we involving and engaging them in things that are going to sully the soul, dirty and muck them up? And we go along with it because we desperately want their approval and acceptance. Sometimes we talk about peer pressure with teenagers, and I've discovered that it's a real phenomenon with adults as well. Would God we be more concerned about the pressure of the Holy Spirit of God upon our heart? I want you to see that the Lord goes on in verse 4 and says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." All right, the third quality of friendship is that a friend will stay, he'll stay when everybody else leaves. We often say this, that you know who your friends are when you get ready to move. You know, Dorinda has a truck. It wouldn't surprise me if she thought about getting a bumper sticker that said, "Yes, this is my truck, and no, I will not help you move." Some of you have seen that bumper sticker, haven't you? But look, you find out who your real friends are when push comes to shove, right? Yeah. How many of you have ever had to move without help? My hands up. That's no fun, is it? Sometimes you think, now I've lived in this town for 40 years, and it's moving day, and I can't seem to get anybody that even knows my name. Maybe we should put up there, "A real friend will help you move." But they'll stay when everybody else leaves. The Bible says this, that a brother is born for adversity. When push comes to shove, here's what the Bible says: a friend loveth at all times. When you find yourself without your driver's licenses, you got picked up for DUI, and you can't get a job and nobody wants to help, you discover who your real friends are. Amen, Pastor. Do we live in a real world? When you've lost your job for a cause, you can't seem to get another one. You've lost your home, you've got no place to go. You have nothing materially to offer anyone else. When you can't buy rounds, when you can't even afford penny poker, you find out who your real friends are. They're the ones that will be there through thick and thin, that will care about the spiritual needs of your life, that will talk to you in such a way that will seem like a balm for your soul. It'll be a cleanser for your soul and your mind. And they will be there. They will abide with you. They will abide in you. They will remain. They'll remain. I want you to see not only this, but the Bible tells us that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. So the Lord is that example of a true friend. A true friend not only will be spiritual, not only will speak, not only will stay, but number four, will support you. Will support you. I'm not talking about they're going to pay your rent. Okay? I got a lot of people that are my dear friends, but I barely have enough to pay my own, let alone yours. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this. Look, the Lord cared for His disciples in every way. He created them in His image, which was three parts: spirit, soul, and body. He cares about every part. Now look, the Lord cares about everything in your life. And that's why when it says in verse 3, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you," I want to say that, listen, don't worry about what's up there. Just look at me, all right? It don't matter. Look, the Lord isn't going to support destructive and sinful behavior. And He's the truest friend that you will ever have. He will support you for that which is good and right and positive physically. That's your body. Emotionally, intellectually, your decision making, that's in your soul and in your spirit. But He knows the things that will hurt you. If I know you're vulnerable to alcohol and you want to tie one on, I'm not going to support that, even though I may be your friend. You might think I'm not your friend because I refuse to support you in that, because I'm not going to buy the beer. Okay? But I'm the best friend that you have. You understand that? The Lord is not going to support something that will destroy His friends, even if it makes His friends feel like He doesn't like them. Because a friend will love enough to be rejected if needed. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs: "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceit." And really what that means is that a friend, someone that really loves you, will be willing to tell you something that you may not like and may not want to hear and may choose to reject that person, but they love you enough to tell you the truth and to support you in the right way, to help you find your feet to solid ground. He's not going to support you. She's not going to support you in things that are bad and destructive for you, that will cause those things to be thrown into the fire and be burned. When a kid comes to another kid and says, "Don't tell my parents." You know, sometimes people come to me and say, don't tell anybody. And I say, it depends on what you tell me, whether or not I can make that promise. I mean, if you're an underage minor and you tell me that, you know, something's going on, I have a duty to tell your folks. I may have a duty to tell the police. So don't make me commit to promises that I can't keep. And normally those are not things that are very good for you. If I'm your friend, I'm going to support you in that which will help you. And the Lord said, look, you can't be fruitful. You can't bear fruit apart from me. Only as I'm supportive of that fruit bearing process, that thing which will remain, that fruit that's going to remain, I will support that. Anything else, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut it away. I'm going to prune it away. I'm going to purge it so that you can be even more productive and more fruitful in your life. A real friend sometimes will support you in ways that you may not like, may stand up against your sinful behavior because they love you. The Bible tells us in verse number 16, or first verse number 7, abide in me and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will and shall be done unto you. Verse number 16, the Bible says in the last part, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I submit to you that a real friend will supply. A real friend will supply. What does that mean? That if you have a need and you ask, guess what? It's going to be cared for. I have a dear friend, and I was at a low ebb in my life, and he came and ministered to me, and he gave to me. And he looked me in the eye and he said, I want you to know I love you. And if ever you find yourself in a time of need, whatever it is that I have, I want you to know it's yours before you ask. Whatever it is that I have, it's yours before you even ask. I love you. You know, the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 3, beloved, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Talk is cheap. Don't simply be like those that James wrote to that would say to a person in need, be warmed and clothed, but never care for the need that they had. But supply for their need, like the Good Samaritan that was given as an illustration in Luke chapter 10, of one who truly loved and supplied for the need of a stranger. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. But He said, whatever you ask me for, whatever you have need of that you ask me for, I will give it to you. It's yours. As much as is in me, I'll love you as I love myself. It's yours before you ask. I want you to notice the next quality of a real friend, and that is found in verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. A real friend will sacrifice. A real friend will sacrifice. Say, hey buddy, whatever you need, let me know. Okay? A real friend will say, I'll lay down my life for you, whatever it is that you have need of. I will give my life. Perhaps the truest example of this in the Bible or is found in 1 Samuel in the friendship of Jonathan and David. Now, I would have you know that the world is perverse today. And the world is so perverse that they've even come out with a pornographic Bible. Some of you are aware of that. Came out with, tried to make all of the stories in the Bible out to be something pornographic. They tried to make David and Jonathan as gay lovers. Can I tell you something? Jonathan and David loved each other with the love of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that they strengthen one another's hand in God. You know what the focus of that relationship was? It was the Lord. It was a self-effacing, self-sacrificing relationship. Jonathan was the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. He knew it. David knew it. But Samuel had anointed David because of Saul's sin. The kingdom would be separated from Saul's family. And now David was the anointed of God. And Jonathan, the rightful heir, was the best friend of David, who would now take the throne from him. And what did Jonathan do? He went to David. And he took off his armor and his cloak and his sword. And he gave them unto him. And he said, I know now that thou wilt be king and not me. You know what he did? He said, I'm going to sacrifice what everyone in the world would say is my right to, because of love. I lay down my life. Whatever it is, I sacrifice it for your benefit. I don't know too many people that love like that. I don't know too many people that possess those kinds of qualities that they would in fact lay down their life for a friend. Quickly and lastly, the Bible tells us in verse number 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you, what? Friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Do you know what? Before we came to Jesus, we were slaves. We were not friends. Do you know what the slave does? Whatever he's told. Do this, do that. Don't do that, do this. Go there quickly. And there's a taskmaster over him to make him do so. You know what the Lord said? Henceforth, from this point forward, you're my friend. And how you can know that you're my friend is, I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm not just going to order you around. I'm going to give you a choice. And I want you to understand my heart. And you can make decisions. We're going to communicate. I'm going to share my heart with you. I'm going to tell you what's in my heart. I'm not going to issue commands and directives. I'm going to share my heart with you. That's what a friend does. I was going through some old journals, and I found a poem that Linda had written. It was about her relationship with her dearest friend, which was not me. And it goes like this. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Wherever He may guide me, no fear shall turn me back. My Shepherd is beside me, and nothing shall I lack. His wisdom ever worketh, His sight is never dim. He knows the way He taketh, but I will walk with Him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where darkest clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path to life is free. My Savior is my treasure, and He will walk with me. I promise you this, that Jesus alone can be all of this to you. But if He is in you, then you can begin to evidence these qualities in real friendships that will last forever because they are spiritual. And if they are not, they will end at your grave. If they are, they will live on in eternity. Today, the greatest friend that you have ever known has said, I want you to be my friend. and I feel so strongly about you, here's how I'm going to prove my friendship to you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to lay down my life to you. And I'll be your friend, whether you give me yours or not. But I'd like for you to take my hand and let me save you and walk with you through this life and into the life that is to come. That's real friendship. We know so little of that. Heavenly Father, thank you today that you love us this way. And I pray, Lord, that you would so move in our hearts that we would desire to be real friends. And above this, Lord, I pray that we would yearn to have you as our friend. Lord, if there's one in this service today that does not know thee as Savior, may today be the day of salvation. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed just for a moment, and no one is looking about. Perhaps today there's one in this service that in your heart of hearts you do not know that if you died today that you would go to heaven, but you're concerned about it. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure every sin is forgiven. I'm not sure that heaven is my home, but I am concerned about it. And Pastor, I don't want you to embarrass me at all, but I would appreciate it if you would remember me in prayer. If there's one like that today, I wonder if you'd give me the privilege of remembering you in a moment of prayer. I don't want to embarrass you at all, but I'd like to have the privilege of praying for you. If there's one like that that would say, Pastor, pray for me. I do not know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. Pray for me. I wonder if you just slip your hand up and write that down. Just put it up and write that down. God bless you. You can put it down. God bless you. You can put it down. Are there others that would join these? Pastor, pray for me. God bless you. You can put it down, sir. There are a number of hands lifted today. Folks saying, Pastor, I'm not certain that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Who'll join them? Pastor, please pray for me. I don't want you to embarrass me, but I'd appreciate you praying. And perhaps there's one here today that would say, you know, Pastor, I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. There's no doubt about that. But God has spoken to me because I have friends that are not saved. And I realize that I haven't been the real kind of friend because I have overlooked the greatest need that that person has. And God is dealing with me about being a real friend of that person, telling them how that the greatest need of their life can be met. Pray for me, Pastor. I want to be a real friend to that person. God bless you and you and you and God bless you and you and you and God bless you and God bless you. I want to be a real friend. I don't want to just say I'm a friend and let them go on to hell. I want to tell them how the greatest need of their life can be met. Perhaps today there's someone in this room that has been saved but never baptized. We invite you to come in just a moment as we have a word of invitation, a moment of invitation. Perhaps there's someone here that needs to join this local church. Whatever the case, I pray that as God is dealing with you, that you'll do exactly what He's leading you to do. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And after I do, I'm going to ask you, if you lifted your hand and said, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. And there were a number of folks like that. If you're not certain, would you step out and join me at the front? Meet me here. Let me have someone show you from a Bible in just a few moments how you can be certain of heaven. If God is dealing with you, we would invite you to step out and come. Father, right now I pray for everyone who's lifted a hand. Lord, many hands were raised today of folks indicating that they do not know thee as Savior, not sure that heaven is their forever home, that their sins are forgiven. I pray that you would endue them with a holy boldness to step out and to come and to settle that doubt and to have that great need of their life met. Lord, I pray for every person in here that has a need, whatever it may be. Lord, maybe there are those that have said, I want to be that real friend. I want to tell my friends about Christ so that the greatest need of my friend may be cared for. God, give us courage to be the friends that you've called us to be. For we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Would you all stand to your feet? Brother Joshua is going to lead us. And as he does, if God is dealing with you, we invite you to come.
just as I am without one plea.
Would you come? Would you step out and come? Others are coming. Would you come? Plays quietly through, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Folks are coming, making decisions. What about you today? Do you know for certain that you're on your way to heaven? If you don't, we invite you to come. Would you come? Allow us to take the Bible and show you how you can be certain that you're on your way to heaven. Some are coming now. Would you join them? Would you come? Young person, would you come? Sir, would you come? Father, we thank you for your work in our midst today. Thank you for folks responding. May you continue to work in hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And we have some wonderful news. We have some folks that have come that are desiring to unite in fellowship together with us. And first, Patricia, would you stand and turn so folks can see you? She's no stranger to Freeway Baptist Church. Her family attends here. And she was a part of this church for a long time in years gone by, but wants to formally reunite in fellowship with Freeway Baptist Church. She's been saved and baptized, and she wants to become a member of Freeway Baptist Church. Is there a motion that she be received into the fellowship of our church? Motion is made and seconded many times. All in favor say amen.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, and we thank God for this. And then Mary Ann, would you stand? And Mary Ann, pronounce your last name. New Mueller. I was afraid I would get that wrong if I didn't have her pronounce it. And you're the cousin of Rose?
Yes, I am.
And, you know, Rose is about as sweet a lady as there is. And I'm discovering that it kind of runs in the family. and this is a wonderful family. And Mary Ann has been saved and has been baptized in another Baptist church and would like to unite in fellowship together with us. And is there a motion that Mary Ann be received into the fellowship of our church? Motion is made and seconded many times. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Mary Ann. We thank the Lord for you. And I'm going to give this to Jenny, who'll make sure that Darlene gets that information. And she's our church clerk. And we also have a young lady who's here today who has trusted Jesus as her Savior, who has said, Pastor, I would like to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And so we're going to have baptism in just a moment. I'll move quickly. Brother Joshua, lead us in a chorus of a song as I prepare, and then we'll have baptism together.
Number 101, His Name is Wonderful.
His name is wonderful.
Freeway Baptist, we want to be careful to point out the fact that baptism does not save a person, but rather it comes after someone has received Jesus as their personal Savior. And it is, number one, obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ for every saved person. It is, number two, identification with our Lord Jesus Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And the water baptism is the only way that properly identifies you with burial and resurrection. And then thirdly, baptism is a public profession of a person's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God that souls are being saved. We thank God for folks that came today saying, I want to be saved and know that I'm going to heaven. And that's the reason why we're here. And we're grateful for a young person who's determined to take a stand for Christ and who's now today desiring to walk in the newness of life. This is Carissa. And Carissa started coming to our church a few months ago. And did Brianna bring you to church? Brianna brought her to church. You know, your best friends are the ones that bring you to church. Amen? A gospel preaching church. Okay, I might add that. And Carissa went to the youth conference with us, and she behaved herself admirably, and her family would be proud. And she's professed her faith in Jesus Christ and now has this desire. And she has some family that are here today. We want to thank them for coming to share in this opportunity to witness this. And if you're here and your family and friends celebrating together with Carissa, would you stand? We want to say thank you for coming today. All right, many like that. Let's give them a hand, shall we? God bless you. Thank you for being here today. You may be seated. Carissa, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, I have.
Therefore, my sister, upon the profession of your faith and on the authority of God's Word in this local church, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bear in the likeness of His death, clothed in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. I bless you. We have several others who have indicated that they plan to take this next important step in the coming weeks, and we're looking forward to this. And what a great day it's been. Folks came to be saved, joined the church, to get baptized. And I believe God did a work in the hearts of folks here today. I want to have the opportunity to greet you in just a moment. I'll change as quickly as I can and get to the back door to greet you. And Jim and Betty, I see you. You're sitting back there primed to bolt, but I don't leave before I see you. And if you're our guest, we're so happy you're here. And Jenny, would you take our new members of the foyer when we stand? Let's all stand to our feet so we can be dismissed in prayer. Go by and tell our newest members that you're delighted that they're a part of our church fellowship today, and get acquainted with them. And Brother Chuck Logan, would you come to the platform, take this microphone right here, and dismiss our service in prayer?
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that many have made decisions, Father. And Father, we pray that your word would continue to work in the hearts of those who have not come to know you. Lord, for those of us who have given our hearts and lives to you, God, we pray that we will continue to grow in your love and service, and that this ministry will continue to minister to our hearts and help us to love you more each day. We ask you that you go with us now and be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.